We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back. This is today's episode of Mavs Party. I'm Kirk Henderson, editor-in-chief over at MavsMoneyBall.com. This is Pod Mavericks fan-based live show where I want you to come talk basketball with me. There's a link there in the YouTube comments for those of you watching live where you can click and come join me up here on live to talk a little hoops. It's about 6:30 here on Sunday night. We've got a pretty good group of folks talking in the comments. Now I just need you guys to click and come join and talk a little basketball up here with me. This was a particularly difficult game for me just because nobody from Mavs Moneyball signed up to do the recap, and because I'm in charge, that means it's my thing to have to take over. So I was recapping the game while my wife was doing basically managing both of our boys, which is not particularly difficult. Though I did make Kurt, my son, watch the final 5 minutes of the game plus overtime with me, so that's always fun. If you have comments in the chat, go ahead and post them in there. I will try to get to those while I wait for people to join up here on stage. I see my friend Doe trying to join down below, but he's not having luck with his device. Remember, it's the pinned comment down there in the chat, and we finally have our first participant tonight. We're going to bring Fred up here to talk a little ball. Fred, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Kirk. How you doing? Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you for joining. You sound great.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm calling from Germany, and
you got to watch a game and not stay up till.
Yes, fantastic. Yeah, and that's why, like, I always watch the post game shows afterwards, like 7-8 hours afterwards. And I was like, "Hey, today I'm gonna join, so I'm gonna join you." And it was an unbelievably weird and beautiful game, I must say. It was the way how bad they played in the first quarter. It was like, did they want to lose? And then suddenly they came back and fought hard. And in the entire game, like, Kyrie was amazing. And Luka was unbelievable. And it's such a great game. Like, the team really wants to play together. And, like, I've been watching the Mavs for 15 years now. And I used to live in the U.S. And I left the U.S. 2011, right before the Mavs won the championship, unfortunately. Oh. Yeah, I think I watched the meltdown in Portland.
Oh, man. And that game still hurts me.
Yeah, still it hurt. And the next day I left after 4 years living in New York. And And I was like, and I always was defending Dirk and the Mavs, and the Americans like, hey, he sucks. And I couldn't tell them, yeah, I got you now. But anyway, but I think this game was so important for the Mavs to really believe in themselves. It was just kind of like a team effort. And with Exum and PJ hitting those shots, I think it will carry them a long way this game, because it was actually a bad game. I think they didn't play well, and in the end they came back strong.
They just couldn't find anything defensively. I mean, I'm looking at the Rockets box score right now. The Rockets shot the ball really well. And anytime, you know, obviously so did the Mavericks towards the tail end. But I mean, I mentioned this, and it was pretty obvious in the first quarter. The Mavericks had 2 field goals in the first 9 minutes of the game. They were rough. The
Rockets ended up, weird.
it was maddening, because it's like they had so many turnovers. I think they had 8 turnovers in the first quarter. Luka was very sloppy with the ball.
Yeah.
You know, things just, they had some offensive fouls. And so the Rockets ended up shooting 49.5% from the field, 42% from three, and 77% from the line. And the Mavericks won. Now the Mavericks shot 55% from the floor, 38% from three, and almost 90% from the line. That's kind of the big difference maker there. But the Rockets didn't turn the, like, the Mavericks ended up with how many turnovers here? Good gravy. 17 turnovers for the Mavericks compared to 10 for the Rockets. And they just, because the Rockets really were just essentially trying to bully the Mavericks, and it worked for a lot of the game up until it didn't. And it was, you know, there's been a lot of folks in the chat are really pissed at the defense today. And I you're not wrong, but when Dylan Brooks is hitting, how many threes? Brooks had 5 of 6 from three. You take away 2 of those and this game feels different. It comes the way it goes.
They hit everything. And what I think is, the thing is, the Rockets hit everything, but the Mavs just willed themselves into victory. It was a win of, like, they just wanted it more. And this is like, we're going to take this win, you know, whatever it takes. And that's great. And I think the group hug in the end, it was so beautiful. Like, first,
yes, glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you, because for those who don't know what Fred's talking about, Kyrie's basically grabbing, he grabs Luka, and I want to say it was Derrick Jones Jr. There's the three of them, and they basically get everybody to come in off the bench, and basically there's a big group hug and basically break it out together. And it that doesn't happen after every game. In fact, it rarely happens. Usually they're shaking hands with everybody else. This was a we're in this kind of moment. It was impressive. Yeah.
And we want this, and we want to win. And it everything was against them. Like, they were down 22 points or something, mm-hmm. right? And they just said, like, okay, we're still gonna win it. And honestly, like, the last years, it was always like we were up 20 points and thinking, okay, we're gonna lose this. And now it's the other way around. And I think it's really the poise of Kyrie and Luka saying, like, we got this. And if the team believes them, they're going to go a long way, really a long way.
I agree with you, Fred. Thank you so much for joining. I hope you get to join us during the playoffs if you feel like staying up till the middle of the morning in Germany, I'm sure.
I would try to do so. And all right, we'll talk soon. Thank you for your coverage. It's been a joy listening to you guys for all the years in Germany. So. Thank you so
much. I really, really appreciate that. It's very kind of you to say. You have a good day, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Coming up next, I see mostly familiar faces. I'm going to bring my guy Henry up here in just a second. I wanted to shout out Bobby for the tip. Really appreciate that sort of thing. No idea how that's even happening, because I don't know enough about how YouTube works. Now that I'm watching myself on full screen, I see that I have a very stupid, the fact that my flags behind me aren't even, because one keeps falling off. That's going to bother me for the rest of this podcast. All right, so I'm going to bring up Henry, and then I'm going to go to Zach, and then we're going to go Brandon, Doe, and Ewan. Henry, what's up, man?
Happy Kyrie! Sunday. Oh, man. Kyrie, him Duncan, him Jones, Hemi Neutron, however you want to go about it.
That fourth quarter was really something else. I mean, he'd played a pretty good game up until that point, 23 points through three quarters, but that fourth quarter, a personal 15-point run, pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Pretty rich.
My only complaint, I wish Luka would have dimed it to him at the end just so he can get 50.
I was hoping for 50 too, because 50 is a lot of fun to write about. Like, you can, exactly. The one question I sort of had for you is, why the heck do you think he was getting the free throw line? Like, what was he doing any different? Was he just getting calls?
No, he was legitimately just getting calls. Okay. You can kind of tell how it was officiated early. Like, it was literally fouls on back, fouls on the other side, fouls on this side. Like, I think it was just the officiating crew that they had today. But this is what happens when he gets an SGA whistle. If Kyrie gets SGA's whistle, he would average 36 without breaking a sweat. And he would do it officially, too, in about, like, 35 minutes. No joke. What was Kyrie today? 15 for, like, 25?
15 for 25 from the floor, and he was 15 of 17 from the line, with those two misses coming in the first quarter.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, go back and look at any of his big breakouts, his 50s, 55s, 57, 60s. Anytime Kyrie puts up numbers, he does it efficiently, and he's not shot chucking. So, I'm not too worried about that. Fam. I was at the game in Houston when Dallas came into town.
Oh, that's fun.
Dylan Brooks missed everything. And then today he turns into fucking the third Splash Bro. There's no way they maintain that momentum. I was still at work. I'm still at work now. But when I looked, it was 28-9. There's no way Houston maintains that momentum.
Well,
there's no way.
They held it. So the Mavericks, I don't know if you – I mentioned this in the show with Dalton. The Mavericks only held the lead for 48 seconds. Houston had an answer for everything. It was maddening to watch live. Because Dallas, like, yes, they were playing bad defense at points. Yes, Daniel Gafford was out there. But it's like the Rockets also just hit all sorts of shots. Exactly. I mean, did you see the first half Caitlin Clark three where she pulled up from, like, the Steph Curry logo section?
No, I caught it towards either the middle or towards the end where she hit three straight.
Dylan Brooks pulled one of those in the first quarter against the Mavericks. And I was just sitting there, and it was one of those that might have pushed it to 25 or 28. And I'm just sitting there going, what the fuck am I doing wasting my Sunday watching this?
Yeah, no. See, we took their best. This was a blue moon game. This felt like the Golden State game where we played at Golden State. Somehow Wiggins remembered how to play fucking basketball and dropped 20. Chris Paul had a Clippers uniform on underneath because he went 6 of 11. Moses Moody hit 4-6 from 3, was coming off the screens, yanking the shot. Like, this was a blue moon game, fam. They don't make – it's minus Fred VanVleet. If Fred VanVleet hits these shots, so I wasn't too mad at that. But Jabari Parker, fam, you're not hitting off-legged, running middies. Like, stop. Like, this, they don't hit these shots.
Talented team, though. Like,
They are.
Oh, God.
They're going to be building for something. I think the city of Houston finally has something to be good about. The Texans are obviously the best team in Texas now because did you see the interview? Derrick Henry wanted to be a Cowboy, and we didn't call him.
That'll happen. Good Lord.
That is ineptitude. That's a fireable offense. That's like, again, you're in Salesforce. If you lose out on a big contract, I mean, whether it's your champion or finance, whatever it is, when you're trying to put together a big deal and you fuck that up, that's a fireable offense. I'm sorry. Like, that's as long as Jerry Jones has it, like, I kind of see what y'all been going through now. But you don't lose. You don't lose Derrick Henry because you don't give him a call when his location was physically in Dallas on his social medias, giving himself to you, and you just hand him to the Baltimore Ravens. But
well,
back to this one. How are you feeling about our 4-5 matchup, which is inevitable with the Clippers? How are you feeling about that?
Good. I really, like, I'm very much looking forward to it. I don't necessarily want to play Kawhi Leonard, but if his knee, like, if he's gone off to Germany to get a new bionic limb, then I guess all we really need to do is hope that the limb doesn't take. Harden is such an interesting character. I worry, you know, do you remember early in the season when Brian Demaris went on that rant about Harden?
The announcer?
He's like the Fox. He's basically like the sports guy.
Take that with you. Really.
Yeah. He went on like that 2-minute pregame rant about Harden being a bum.
Right.
And I can't, my only, like, just as a narrative guy who kind of likes the story, like, Harden turned it on the next game after that. And, like, I don't want to give that guy ammunition because I'm still in awe of his ability to play basketball. And they're just like, they have, you know, they have how many MVPs on the team? 2 MVPs plus an all NBA guy plus another all NBA. Like, they're just, The Clippers scare me, but the right kind. Like, I want to see the Mavericks take the challenge and win.
Hey, Kyrie, hey, fan 123, I see you in the chat with your hating bitch ass. I see you come out to play. I see you come out to play. I ain't not Kyrie's number one fanboy. You just finna put some respect on his name. He carried you.
You gotta ignore the comments while you're talking. That's what I have to do. It's very hard.
Oh no, I'm petty. So. I'm petty. I got time to you better than me. I ain't doing it. What was I finna say? Oh, and again, this is not happening, but just because it was out there. Obviously, Arrowhead's thing didn't get renewed, and the mayor wants to try to get the Chiefs to come to Dallas. Do you ever see that happening?
Nah.
I think I would absolutely love it if it is, but there was one thing. What was I going to say? I had one takeaway, then I'm going to go ahead and hop off here.
The Clippers, anything Clippers related?
Yes. So, Kawhi, I'm already chalking him up. That's 25 to 30 a game. I'm not worried about it.
Man.
PG is going to have I guarantee you, 2 to 3 games, at least 2, guarantee he's going to go 4-13. Harden's going to do the exact same thing, 4-13. He put up 45 when he was playing game 1 versus the Celtics, and then in games, I think, 6 and 7, but specifically 7, he put up 9 points. I am not worried about the Clippers. Kawhi's going to do his thing. I understand that. But Paul George is going to disappear for a game. Harden is going to disappear for a game, and Westbrook's going to give you the illusion of like maybe 15 points. Sure. All I have to worry about is a 15 to 16 point Westbrook and then a 30 point Kawhi Leonard. The only person that would scare me is Norman Powell, because I think Norman Powell can probably go off.
I think Gafford becomes kind of pointless for that series, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because his size doesn't matter that much against them, because they're all kind of 6'7", the same way the Rockets were today. Like, Gafford had a horrible game.
Hella foul trouble.
And so it makes me wonder. So but I'm looking forward to talking about that. I think we'll talk about, like, we'll get to analyze this game 6 ways from Sunday. I'm very interested in that one. That it'll be a lot of fun.
All right, man. I'll see you on the next one.
Talk soon. Okay, I want to thank this is from Ziva. I don't even want to try to pronounce my man's last name. He says, "Thank you for all the work you're doing. Really appreciate it. All the best with a tip." Really appreciate the tip. Okay, coming up next is my man Brandon. Sorry. What's going on, my friend? How you doing? You're muted. Hold on. We got to figure out how to unmute you. Can't unmute your mic. The mic isn't connected. All right, I'm going to punch you from stage just for a second, and then I'm going to bring up Zach, and then I'll come back to you. Zach, how are we doing, man?
Hey, Kirk. First time doing this. Can you hear me all right?
I can. Thank you for joining. I did say I was going to bring you up next.
Yeah, no. All good. I don't know if you're a member, but I was a producer for Jake Fisher's podcast on the Call-In app. And you were.
Sure.
Yeah. You were his guest right after the Porzingis.
That's right.
Porzingis. Sorry. I remember respectfully arguing with you about it, about the return, because I was like, I don't know. We split our aces and,
I do remember that. That was fun.
But yeah. So thanks for having me on. I have a few things I want to get to. I don't want to take up too much time, but
that's all right.
One, just venting Van Vliet and Brooks, some of the shots they were making. Like, I haven't watched a lot of Rockets, but Van Vliet probably banked in like 2 or 3 shots that had no business going in. Or is that just me? Like, is that his game? Or
if you remember when the Raptors won the finals run.
Yeah.
Fred Van Vliet had a child and then proceeded to shoot like 65%.
Yeah.
He is just that kind of cooker. Last year he shot so horribly that I think he was kind of bound for a regression in the positive sense. And he's just a shot maker. Now Brooks, I can't believe we almost lost to Dylan Brooks 3s. I would have been very upset.
Yeah. So just a minor vent thing. Now, like, some more serious things. One thing, so I obviously am in a bunch of Mavs group chats. One thing I've liked the last few weeks is I think we've really developed an identity, both like stylistically, but just the trust in the team. Even though we went down in the first quarter, like I was telling people, we're going at some point to make this a game. I don't know if we're going to come back and win. But it seems like whether it's Kyrie stepping up, Luka, the bench, we don't go away. And I think that's a really nice quality and tendency to have. And it's a small thing, but it matters that we don't get dejected whether a team's going on the run early, late in the third, before the half. It seems like whether it was the Kings last week in that must-win second game, when the Warriors multiple times, we just don't go away. And I think especially in the playoffs when you're going to get big punches, I think that's really important. So I'm just curious what you thought about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's The three ball is a big equalizer, but when you have guys that are this talented and have the ability to score and just threaten teams, no lead that early is safe. And frankly, we've seen the Mavericks do this to teams too, where they get up ahead and then let teams back in. What was really impressive about what the Mavericks did tonight is that for almost roughly 47 out of the 50 minutes, the Rockets were up or tied. Yeah. And it's like the fact that the Rockets were able to keep slapping the Mavericks down and the Mavericks kept coming back. That was what was impressive to me as much as how much they came back down from. Because it's at a certain point, you got to look at it, Kyrie goes up 121 to 122 with the free throws. You're like, oh, I finally got the lead. Maybe the Mavericks are going to be able to close this out. Only for Dylan Brooks or someone to hit another stinking three-pointer. It was so frustrating to watch and write about. And like I wrote the Mavs Moneyball recap. You can just tell where all of a sudden I start writing down everything that happens in the game as opposed to like summarizing because I don't know what to write. It was just such a crazy affair. It's great, great, great to watch.
Well, exactly. You know, to that point, it was the type of game that I felt once we get the lead, if we get this lead, because we've been down, we're not letting it go. Mm-hmm. And like three or four different times we got the lead or tied it and they punched back. So I wasn't expecting that from a Houston team that's been sliding. But and on top of that, it was nice to win in a different way. Like, you know, we've had these defensive battles. It was not like I wouldn't necessarily say this was a pretty win, even though we scored a lot of points. In a lot of ways, we couldn't get stops on defense and, you know, a little bit of luck, but there was execution too. And it feels like when we've been saying we got the win, it's been an ugly win. It's defensive minded with our offense struggling. It's just nice to see like proof of concept. Okay, we can get an ugly win in a low scoring game. We can get an ugly win in a shootout too. So that was really encouraging to see too.
It was great.
It was great. And then the very last thing in regards to it sounds like we are going to play the Clippers. I think we're going to need Lively back for that, just from a versatility perspective. Cato talked about it a lot in his pod. I'm curious where you think Josh fits in regards to Tim Hardaway, if they should be substitutes for each other. Cato talked about this, like if we need a flamethrower, put Tim in there, but for anything else, if Tim isn't hitting his shots, just put Josh out there, wondering where you think how Josh fits into playoffs.
I'm going to be fascinated to see what Kid does here because, you know, you look at the starting five that they keep rolling out that works. You got Luka, Kyrie, Gafford, Jones, Washington. That's five guys. You got Kleber playing big at the four. Then you got Exum. That's seven. Seven right there. Hardy, we'll say goodbye to Hardy till next year. And that essentially leaves Hardaway and Green. If you're relying on Hardaway and Green to do anything other than not die, the Mavericks are kind of fucked to begin with. I don't mean to be too mean about that, but that's just kind of the state of things. Green's defense is since this new team has come together has been utterly exposed. Like the Mavericks defensive rating when he's on the floor is horrendous.
Why do you think that is?
Because I just don't know if he's got enough minutes playing in space. I mean, he still doesn't know how to read screens. He keeps, he hurts his elbow because he stiff arms. Then he jacks his elbow up. Like it's a spatial awareness thing that has to come with just minutes and repetition. He's clearly gotten so much better on offense. And I never would have predicted that. I really thought he was going to be a solid defensive guy and he's just not. And I think it's because of his sort of frenetic tendencies. He overhelps, which forces the Mavericks into rotations early. I do think he'll have a playoff moment or two, but it's really easy to fall in love with the things that he does well. And it's a lot harder to see where he's a disaster because he always plays hard. And you know, when a guy plays hard, it's easy to really love the guy. It's just sometimes playing hard doesn't help when you fuck up all the time.
I do think, you know, to that note, he could be more valuable than Tim in a series. Sure. Like, you know, there are things he does that Tim's been passing better recently, but
Tim is just such a target. Like Tim goes out on the floor and it's like, oh, we're going to ISO Tim.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be fine with seven. I mean, the Nuggets had what, like 6.5 players last year they focused on. Maybe I'm too optimistic, but I think there is potential value with Green, but it sounds like you're way more down on him than than maybe even I'm thinking, or you don't.
I just don't really like, I get to the point where I get past my top seven guys. And like, we talked a little bit earlier about Dante Exum's minutes, where I don't want to have to think about Tim Hardaway and Josh Green. And when I do, I don't want them to be the source of my ire, because it's like, you know, you see this with like the Jaden Hardy minutes, poor guy plays 6 minutes and the Mavericks are -7 in those minutes. Is that his fault? Maybe not. Could he also maybe not throw Daniel Gafford a lob, which nearly gets him killed mid game? Perhaps. Like, it's just, and all I really want from 7th, 8th, 9th guys in the playoffs is, if you're going to have like just do the one thing you do well. And that's where you look at Green and you look at Hardaway and you're like, well, what's the thing they do well? And you know, it's very critical, because it's like both of them, I would say the answer is shooting. It's a different kind of shot taking and making for both of them. So,
yeah.
Oh yeah, that Ben in the chat is obviously pointing out Lively. Like, I completely blanked on Lively. Like, Lively makes 8. So that's kind of where we are. Sorry guys, I don't know what's wrong with me. I know there's plenty of stuff wrong with me. What else you got for us, Zach?
With Lively, you were talking about Gafford being maybe obsolete in a series with the Clippers. I feel like Lively's a little more versatile defensively. Do you think he's equally obsolete, or would he
act? No, Ty Lue is a heck of a basketball coach. Yeah. That's kind of more, it's less that they're obsolete because they're bad, and more I think that they would get schemed out. I hope I'm wrong, because the Mavericks' size has been the differentiating factor in the second half of this season.
Yeah.
They went from being too small to being massive. So,
yeah. And I know Kid, like, Tyloo's obviously great. I know Kid is like, has the ire of Mavs fans all the time, but it does amaze me how, like, when he thinks he has a team that can win, how much differently he coaches. I've noticed things like, even it's small things, but it matters when there's 3:40 left in the fourth quarter and he subs out Luka and Kyrie because he knows he's going to use the use it or lose it timeout, and we're going to go on defense for a possession before that, and Luka has 5 fouls, and he's like, I'm not even going to take that risk having Luka in there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think, like, definitely not last year, but even at times earlier this year, it doesn't seem like he had that much attention to detail, or is trying that hard, or is this just recency bias on my end?
No, I do think he coaches better when he feels more confident in what's going on, and it's a little, it's almost too apparent to the hardcore fans. But at the same time, with how talent deficient they've been at certain points in the last several years, you know, it's hard to get too upset with them. I mean, that's not fair. I get very upset with him. It's his job. But I at least understand it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, when your options are Maxey or Dwight Powell, what are you going to do?
You know, and I think some of it is maybe we were spoiled a little bit by Rick, in that Rick, it didn't matter the roster. He was squeezing every ounce of productivity and versatility out of it.
Rick coached like Goonies never say die. Like, he just wouldn't, somebody pointed this out, that the Mavericks, you know, they lost in 6 to the Clippers, I think. Was it 6 games or 7 games?
Six the first year, 7 the second one.
So when we took them to 7, you had Boban playing minutes.
Yeah, Boban playing center. Yeah, that's what all these Clippers fans, Claw World, saying that Kawhi is going to have less help this series than Luka had in 2021. We were starting 3 bench guys.
You got 2 MVPs on the team, Bucko.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, Kirk. Really appreciate it.
Hope you come back. Talk soon.
What if?
Okay. Coming up next is Brandon. What's up, man?
Kirk, can you hear me now?
You can. Thanks for trying.
It's good. Thank you. Man, you know what? I was thinking about the rotation since y'all brought it up, and I feel like, to me, Maxey would be a good option for that third big, I guess you could say, either at the 4, hopefully at the 4, because – one thing, even though he doesn't play, you know, up to the level of a lot of guys, Maxey isn't going to make stupid fouls. He's going to knock down his free throws, and he's not going to, you know, make unnecessary turnovers. So, to me, I feel like it's what he's not doing as opposed to what he's doing. So that consistency with the talent that the Mavs have is something that, you know, he can bring as opposed to Powell, which is always offensive fouls, kind of, you know, in the way, not very much of a threat, where people have to at least pay some attention to him. People don't have to pay a lot of attention to Maxey, but they had to pay some attention.
Well, Maxey will have one of these games, man, where he hits three threes. He's just going to have one. His shot looks good. It's just he doesn't take them or any kind of auto rotates. I mean, at least he took some shots tonight. I mean, they very well could have won the game in regulation and he would have connected on that wide open one from the top of the key.
Yeah, surprisingly, he missed two free throws, too. It's not like
free throws, he doesn't go enough. I mean, would you believe – I was looking through his box score. He actually shot 8 free throws against the Raptors this year. That cracked me up. But most games, like, he shoots less than a free throw a game. So he just doesn't go. I think it's – you know, there was a while back when he shot, like, 90% from the line for a season. I think you probably remember that. And he was at least going a little bit. So now he doesn't even go. So what are you going to do?
I wonder if it's kind of like his role now is more around the perimeter and less kind of, you know, back in the day, Maxey would take it and sometimes try to dunk on you, but he's less, I guess, less utilized going to the paint now.
Yeah.
So it could be
really. That's part of it.
But, you know, kind of like I was thinking about Derrick Jones Jr. when they played the Kings, and he played great defense on De'Aaron Fox.
Yes,
and
he did.
One thing I noticed is he would prevent him from driving to the right. And I specifically kind of looked at it during the second half, and I was like, man, Fox wanted to go to the right so bad. And I don't know if he's right-hand dominant or if it's just like he felt like, you know, that's where he could take him. But Jones wouldn't give it to him. And I noticed that, you know, when they played Golden State the last time, he played really good defense. So I feel like whatever inefficiency that they have against these really good guards, Derrick Jones Jr. could be kind of like that person that makes up that difference, because he's shown an ability to kind of stick with Curry and stick with Fox. And those are two really good guards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's, they just didn't have that last year, and it's really wonderful to watch.
It is, man. But you know, Kirk Houston, they're going to be kind of, I think they could be good next year. You know, they have talent.
Absolutely.
And think about this, Kirk. I was looking at what draft picks they have. They have to give that. They got a top 4 protected pick that could go to Orlando, but they also going to get Brooklyn's first.
All round. The Brooklyn stuff. It makes me sick. It makes me sick.
God, and Kirk, they have like more cap money than a lot of teams. And
yeah.
Houston is really a place where a lot of people go to free agents. So they could be really good. The West, this division is going to be scary.
It's been scary. I hate the Southwest division. I mean, do you remember, we got Ja Morant coming back next year. You got Zion playing like this. You got Victor Wembanyama. You got this Houston team with Amen Thompson, who is like a multiversal athlete. It makes me sick. And whereas you got Luka, best player of the bunch. You got Kyrie as well. Kyrie's not a young man anymore. It's like if when you talk about these sort of things, this is where if you have eyes for the prize, eyes for the chip, right. This might be the year. This might be the year. You got to take advantage while you can.
You got to. And think about this, Kirk. Dallas isn't a super old team, but compared to the other teams, they're a lot older.
Right. I agree. And they don't. And you know the depth that Dallas does have. It's like, you know, you got PJ locked in for 3-4 years. 3 years after this one. You got Danny. I mean, it's like, obviously, this is why you play basketball. You try to win the championship. And so worrying, looking ahead is very easy to do. I don't really want to do it too often, but it's Matt, when you look at the Rockets, it's like, God, they're not even going to make the play-in. They're the 11th seed in the Western Conference, and they're that good. Sengun. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out, man. They're just so, it makes me sick.
7 players in double figures. That's crazy.
That's right. We never have that happen. All right, man. I got to get going pretty quick here, so I'm going to let you go and move on to our last two guests. Sound all right?
Yes, there it is. Thank you. All
right. Talk soon. Ewan, what's up, my friend? Give Ewan a second to unmute himself. All right. We'll give Ewan. I'm gonna punt Ewan for now, and then I'm going to bring Micah up on stage, and then we'll try Ewan one more time. Micah, how you doing, man?
I'm making it, Kirk. It's a good day. I fixed my car and got a Mavericks win, so everything's good in life.
Good. How you doing? Well, hit me up with your comments real quick, because I can tell my wife is going to kill me. So,
it was a great team win. I liked our chances. It's almost like if you look at the 2022 team. It's basically every position is upgraded. Right. So we could do something special. Let's see.
Let's see what we can do. It's good. This is a lunatic tweet from my friend Jose. He says if the Thunder lose out and the Mavericks win out, we're the 3 seed, by the way. I don't know if that's true, but it's the kind of lunatic behavior that I enjoy from Mavs fans this time of year.
Well, we can get no help from the Cavs. I want to start a new trend.
That's right.
Instead of the we're done with the 90s, we're done with the Eastern Conference. Good right. God.
That's exactly right.
It is one good team, some hospital teams, some mid teams, and garbage. That's the Eastern Conference.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. We'll talk soon, okay?
Talk soon, Kurt.
All right. We're going to try my man Ewan one more time, though I saw him join twice, which makes me think he's having phone and or computer issues, and that just might be the way tonight goes. Shout out to the chat, all of our fans from Slovenia that are watching this one live. It seems I'm going to need someone at some point to send me a Slovenian pronunciation guide, as well as gendering some of the names, because I always get, even though it really is true, like 95% of our podcast viewers are men and women. Are men, but I never want to make that assumption, so I always go through it. Oh, there Ewan is. Ewan, give me your comments real quick. Oh, Ewan kicked himself off stage. That's just going to be the way that today goes. Huge win for the Mavericks. We'll be back a little later this week. Let's see here. Who do we play here? Mavericks play. Well, we got a few games left here. This is pretty big. They play the Hornets, at the Hornets, then at the Heat. Those are two early games. Then they play the Pistons. Then they got a game against the Thunder a week from the day, same time. We'll see how that one goes. Everyone, be good. We will talk soon. Go Mavs and have a great week.